Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Classroom Musical is back for its fifth year, and you're listening to One Republic right there.
Mm-hmm. Why are we listening to One Republic?
Because One Republic's helping us out this year, and they really want you to sing one of their songs. Pick one of the One Republic songs.
Uh-huh.
We have all the instrumentals on the website for you at kidnation.com. Make a music video and send it to us. You can change up the words. You can keep them the same. Just make sure you throw in the Kid Craddock Morning Show in there.
Somewhere in the song.
Yeah, we have three prizes of $1,500 to improve your classroom. Thanks to Tasty Cake.
Thank you, Tasty Cake.
Here's the levels. We have elementary school, so that's K through 5.
Right.
We have middle, which is 6th through 8th grade, and the high school kids, who are 9 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can you do with that $1,500? Whatever you wish to improve your classroom.
Anything.
Buy books, technology, go on a field trip, get uniforms, whatever you need.
Buy a pony.
And the good news for the runner-ups, you get a Tasty Cake party and other prizes for the whole class.
Nice.
Plus, the grand prize winning class will get a Skype chat with the band One Republic. Yeah, they're going to be on the computer talking to you in person, and they'll share your video with their 14 million fans on social media. And that's growing by the day, by the way. That's thanks to Interscope Records. Again, head on over to KidNation.com right now. That's KIDDNation.com. And get some tips and download the instrumental tracks you need to use for your songs.
Yeah.
Start today because you only have 4 weeks. Again, KidNation.com has everything you need. Now, Jenna, you stated that you saw perhaps the best story of all time.
No, the best, a really heartwarming story that I read this weekend on Sunday when I'm going through the news.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine as a parent, you know, you guys, you throw birthday parties for your children. And when they're between the ages of, you know, 5 and 10, birthday parties are very important.
They mean something to them.
They remember them. Yeah, these are important birthday parties. And so imagine you're throwing a birthday party for your six-year-old son on a Sunday, and he's waiting in the front yard with a bounce house and party favors, and he's waiting, and not a single person shows up.
Oh. Hold on. Little six-year-old boy has a party. Gosh. Nobody showed up.
Yes, this story comes from Osceola, Florida. Glenn Barati, he's 6 years old, invited all 16 of his kindergarten classmates from his elementary school to a sixth birthday party on Sunday. And his mother, Ashley, said not a single person responded to the invite. And she just figured, you know, parents are busy, not responding. They're going to show up. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Glenn, six-year-old Glenn, he's mildly autistic. He has epilepsy. His mom said he experiences social anxiety. So he has had a difficult time making friends at school and managing his behavior at this age.
Because kids don't understand at that age that he is a little different.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They know he's different. That's why they.
Yeah.
So she says this scene going down in the front yard of her house, you know, he had a sister there. So she said that he was so devastated. You know, he woke up in the morning so excited and was in the front yard playing, ready for his friends to show up. They had food. They had everything ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, when are my friends coming? When are my friends coming? And she said when he realized no one was coming to his birthday party, he refused to smile and he was even trying to pinch the bridge of his nose to stop himself from crying. So, of course, this mom said that she was just so overcome with anger and sadness and despair for her son that she said, go in the backyard and play with your sister. And she got on this Facebook group called Osceola Rants, Raves, and Reviews List. So it's kind of a neighborhood Facebook page, has 10,000 members.
Yeah, a lot of neighborhoods have this.
So she got on there and said, I know this might be something silly to rant about, but my heart is breaking right now for my son. He keeps asking when his friends are going to get here for his birthday party. Well, this post on a Sunday went viral immediately, and this is what's so cool. He ended up having about 15 kids and 25 adults show up, you know, a couple hours late, but people from the community started just really pulling through for this kid.
Right.
First, it was the owner of a local pet shop and her family. They brought a gift for her son. They stayed for cake and hot dogs. Oh. Soon, half a dozen families that they didn't even know stopped by to help the little boy celebrate. She said as the house started filling up, her little boy's smile just grew bigger and bigger. Someone from the Osceola County Sheriff's Department saw the post on the blog. They sent a helicopter to join in the celebration. For 20 minutes, the helicopter flew over the house, circling and swooping low to make sure everyone knew it was for her son.
So he
ended up having a really great birthday, and it didn't even stop on Sunday. When he went to school on Wednesday, and came home, there were fire trucks outside his house.
Oh, wow.
And Ashley, the little boy's mother, said he came inside like, what's going on? What's wrong? And she said, everything's fine. The house is fine. The fire department arranged, because he loves fire trucks, they brought a fire truck so he could, you can see photos online of him with the firemen. He got to play on the truck, try on their clothes, do all the kinds of cool fireman
stuff. That's cool.
So they came to help him continue his birthday celebration on Wednesday. Yeah, and the mom said not a single parent has offered an apology or explanation
You're
for the
embarrassed
shows.
Now.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, I'm not upset with anyone, but she just wants people to keep in mind what it takes to put together a birthday party and what it means for a child to have someone attend.
What a great story.
That is so cool. It gave me chills.
Reading it, and this little boy is adorable, and it's like, oh my gosh, it just starts breaking your heart. And it's like, if you have that kid in class that's having a birthday party and no one wants to go, he doesn't have a lot of friends,
imagine.
It's like, oh, it means the world if you could just stop by and take the time.
There's nothing like seeing your child be hurt.
I can't imagine.
It lights a fire in your belly. It lights a fire and it gives you this deep sadness. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
For all those people to come out and go to the party.
Awesome.
See, it shows that there are angels out there watching over us.
That makes me feel better. I know where that was going.
I know.
I'm like, nobody showed up. What's going to happen?
The kids will be more sensitive. They need some sensitivity training for little kids sometimes because the parents aren't setting great examples.
Right.
Well, yeah, everything is learned from us.
Well, I was really happy to see this in the news.
What'd you see?
You know, usually when there's a Powerball or a lottery winner, who always wins?
Old people.
Old people.
Not that
they don't
in their 80s, by the way.
Right. It's like let's just be honest, you don't have a lot of time left.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people are going to be fighting over your money. Do your relatives even
get,
I don't know. So finally, I saw this morning, a young single mom won a Powerball jackpot. It's the largest winning in North Carolina. 26-year-old Marie Holmes. She was sitting at home in Charlotte, North Carolina, watching cartoons with her kids. Didn't even know she'd won.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, well, because everybody finds out, somebody in our community won the lottery.
This was the one that there were three winners.
In Texas and one in Puerto Rico,
just a big,
I think.
Big one.
Uh-huh.
Huge one.
Yeah.
So anyway, she is sitting at home watching cartoons. The next day, one of her friends posts the winning lottery numbers online, and she's like, oh my God, that's me.
I want to know what that feels like.
Ah, may have.
So it was a $127 million Powerball jackpot. She took the lump sum, which is $87.9 million after taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like I said, she's a single mom, four kids.
They lived in a trailer, didn't they?
She's been living with seven of her family members in one home.
Yeah.
And she says now she's going to get each one of them, she hopes, a place to live.
Right.
She's got four kids, 7, 4, 3, and 9 months. And in the past, she has worked all these part-time jobs, Walmart, KFC, McDonald's, Subway, Food Lion to support them. She's not doing that anymore. She says since the day she realized she won, got the attorney, got the financial advisor, and all three of them showed up to claim that check, she's had to have security with her ever since.
Of course.
Absolutely.
So her life's never going to be the same.
I think
that's the thing. I wish
her job is what
burden.
I read, right? Because she has a special needs child.
I wish they would let people win anonymously. This is truly a danger to her at this point.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you know,
I think that you can, but you have to have the money to set up some sort of trust. You know, if that makes sense, sometimes people will do that. They'll set up a different trust, a different name, so you can take your winnings that way. But people that don't have money don't know how to go about doing that kind of thing.
Well, she had a lawyer and a financial advisor, maybe she'd already told too many people and the word was out.
I bet she's been having problems before this, like getting guys to holler at her with four kids, you know, single mom, and now guys are calling out the yin-yang.
Yeah, everybody's going to be hitting her up, begging strangers. That's what happens to these people. They say it's a big blessing, but it's also a curse because you hear all these sob stories, everybody hitting her up, her own personal safety, people threatening probably, her kids, the threat of being kidnapped.
We should call and see if she can buy us a bus.
Oh, stop it.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah, good for her.
Cool,
but
$90 million.
You never know how someone's going to spend money when they get all of it. But she didn't go to college, and I had read that she said, "I'm just so excited that my kids are going to have a chance to do something that I never got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I always had to worry about money.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've been working fast food jobs, and now my kids can go to college.
Yeah.
If my mama got $90 million. Al ain't going to college. I'm just tell you that right.
Al is going to college.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. See, that's bad.
That should be built in.
If
you get money if you go to college.
Doorbell get $100 million. Al's not going to college.
You look at
get rich kids, the ones that make something of themselves, go out and get an education and get a job.
And by the way,
tell you what Al's going
to
do.
For us broke folk, to celebrate the opening of its 1,000th shop on Tuesday, Krispy Kreme is giving away one glazed donut to the first 1,000 customers in each location. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay. Really?
Because we like donuts.
Okay, so free donut.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
I begged him not to go into 82nd Airborne. But then you could just see the spark was there again.
Every day, you know, you could get hit. You could take a bullet. You could step on something that explodes. You just, there's no point in thinking about it. Because if you do, then you're just too worried, not paying attention to your job. There was an IED threat in the area. We had to go check it out and see if there was one.
We'll be all right. Scott, quick, come back.
I took my bag off and set it down. And when I set it down, then I came up to Sergeant Mills. When I looked at him, I was like, all right, that's quadruple amputee.
We have a very special guest in studio with us today.
Here we do.
And I want to get this right. I'm going to read it off. His name is Travis Mills. And he's a retired United States Army Staff Sergeant from the 82nd Airborne, right?
Absolutely.
Say hi to Travis, everybody.
Travis Mills. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the movie. It's called Travis, A Soldier's Story.
Absolutely.
Man, your story is incredible. You were in Afghanistan.
On my third tour of duty in 2012, I got hit by an IED. I happened to step on it, put my bag on it, and it immediately ripped off my right arm and right leg. They never found those. It disintegrated. Mm. And then left leg was torn up real bad. A couple pieces of tendons holding it on. They had to duct tape it to my thigh. And then severed artery in my right arm, and my left hand was still there. I actually radioed my LT to let them know what happened.
How much recollection do you have of that moment?
I was awake the whole time.
You were awake?
Yeah.
Did you feel anything, or is your body in shock?
Adrenaline was pumping. I don't think I was shocked. I mean, I was more like, oh, man. That's upsetting. I guess shock setting. I didn't really feel anything. The only thing I did feel was when they had to put a sternum IV right in, and when they press that needle, it's a huge needle, it goes right through your sternum. Hey. I told my doc, he's like, that hurts, doc. What are you doing? And it was just it was horrible. What happened? I looked over and I could see everything. My left eye started swelling shut really bad, and then I got taken out in a helicopter. And on the operating table, I was telling the doctors and nurses, get away from me, leave me alone.
You're fighting them off.
Yeah, I'm trying. Waving my limbs around.
What was the time frame of that? Because I'm assuming that, I mean, you had to have been kind of rescued and transported very quickly. I mean, losing four limbs, a lot of blood loss.
Yeah, I had a severed artery, too. The my medic clamped it off for me. I wasn't, wasn't supposed to make it. Yeah, like this was just shooting blood. And so it was kind of neat that they saved me. And, the medic was like, one of the medics, Doc Voice, was like, you're going to be all right, Sergeant Mills, you're going to be fine. I looked down and said, hey, man, calm down. I know. Like, it's okay. I just figured, it wasn't my call if I was going to make it or not that day. And I wasn't going to go out. Like, in Saving Private Ryan, the guy's yelling for his mom, and he's real scared. Like, love my mom, but I was not going to go out like that in front of my guys. I was a guy that was pretty hard charging. When a firefight came up, I was pretty jacked about it. And things like that. I got some awards for different things in action, so I just I wasn't gonna go out yelling for my mom being scared.
Well, Travis, you took the brunt of that explosion because you had your boys out there with you, and a couple of them got hit as well. But you took most of the force to where it basically saved them.
Yeah, well, it was a little ridiculous because we had a minesweeper, like everything, did all the tactics, went over it once, come back, went over it twice,
missed one,
and nothing went. Well, there was 13 in a row. There were 6 daisy chain, which means they're all linked together. It's supposed to like call a squad killer. If someone hits that, then everybody in line just gets taken out. But
oh boy.
I set my bag down on it, and we already cleared it. And if I wouldn't put my bag down, it would have been 2 of my guys walking up and putting their torsos and face on it.
So either way, somebody was going to get hit.
I think so. I can't really tell if it would have actually happened. But my team leader picked the spot. I cleared it. I said, okay, no problem. It was my call, and we swept the area. And
that was it?
Boom, But then so I got knocked out. April 12th, they flew me to Bagram, and they cut my left hand off the rest of the way. And then on the 14th of April, I woke up for the first time. And I'm not sure if the documentary actually says it, but it was my 25th birthday.
On your birthday, you woke up.
So on the operating table, they kept touching me. I kept telling me, leave me alone, I'm fine. And they said, Sergeant Mills, you got to go to sleep now. And that's why I said, like, my baby girl, I just want to hold her again. And they knocked me out. And then I woke up 4 days later. They let me come out of my medical sedation. And when you know it, happy birthday, Travis. You're a quadruple amputee.
So they're putting you under because you're fighting them off, and you're thinking about your daughter. That's the last thought you had before you went unconscious.
You had such a positive attitude during your rehab and stuff, but you did go through a period of darkness where your wife said you wouldn't even speak to her on the phone, and she gave you space until you were ready to make that phone call. Did it just take you some time to wrap your brain around the fact this is my life now? I mean, because you didn't reach out to her immediately.
Yeah, it was more, I was 6'3". I was 250 pounds, but I would like lift weights all the time.
Right.
And I was a guy carrying the heaviest load, taking all the ammo and in charge. Like I thrived on like being a leadership position to be in charge and make the right calls and have everybody's lives depend on it. And then, you know, my first apartment with my wife, it was a third story apartment. So I like bear hugged, you know, the washer and took it up the stairs and put it in the house. So now I can't even open a jar. You know, how am I going to be the dad and the husband I'm supposed to be? So it was more like, just come to terms with like, man, this is horrible. And I don't want to talk to Kelsey. I'm really embarrassed that the Taliban even got me. Yeah. And
because you never thought you're the tough guy. They're not going to get me.
Yeah. You know, you never really think it's going to be you, and you hope it's not anybody else. But so it was like rough to wrap my head around it. But my brother-in-law was there with me the whole time.
Yeah, your brother-in-law is the one that told you that you had, in fact, lost all your limbs.
Yeah, because I asked if I was paralyzed, and I told him I can't feel my fingers and toes, and he told me, like, you don't have them.
It seems like you had an exceptionally fast ability to adapt to the prosthetics, because when this happened to you, your baby wasn't even 6 months old, and then there's video of you celebrating her first birthday, and you're there with your limbs. It seems like it's happened so fast for you. Was that because of your determination?
Yeah. The hospital, when you get there, the therapist and occupational and physical are just like, they've seen it before. This isn't something that's new, where they want to baby you or coddle you. And they told me that we'll work as hard as you want to work. I'm not here to be your babysitter. I'm not here to make you motivated. And I'm here to help you, and I'll motivate you, but you have to work for it. And what they didn't know is they're signing up for some work, because once I realized I could get better, it's just like, why wait in the hospital? You know, let's just get this going. So I went for 1 hour of each a day, and then I bumped it to two and then to four of each. So I did 40 hours a week. And the worst part of my recovery, honestly, was the weekends. It was truly the worst part of my whole recovery, because I had to sit and not be able to go to PT and work out and get better and towards a brighter future to be rehab. So thanks to Walter Reed and the crazy, you know, things that they're able to accomplish. They just do amazing work up there in Maryland. And I'm very thankful for my therapist, Carrie, and Joe, and my occupational therapist, and, you know, teach me how to use all these tools and everything. And I studied so hard at it. The first day I got my hand, they're supposed to keep it for 3 days. And they let me take it home for the first day. Joe's just like, I can't take your hand. You worked really hard at this.
Do you lose your limbs? Like do you don't sleep with your legs. I heard you say that.
Yeah.
But like, you ever wake up like, I can't find my car keys or my cell phone. Like, if you look for your arm, you know?
No, it's pretty normal now.
If you ever misplace it.
Right, right. Well, I told the hotel, actually in Florida, a couple weeks ago, I told the lady, I said, I lost my arm. I can't seem to find it anywhere. She's, I'll get security right on it right now. I'm like, I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
I'm talking with Travis Mills, and he's got his documentary out, Travis, A Soldier's Story. And your life story is so incredible. We need two breaks. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to keep talking to you, Travis, about your life and what you're going through now and what you went in the past. Is that cool?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Good deal. Guys will have me.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with Travis.
All right.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
My job was the military. I loved it. You know, working with soldiers every day, doing my job was like the greatest for me. Coming home to my wife and kid was the best, you know, and I had a really good life mapped out. I was really doing well. Well, people call me a hero, but I'm not sure what part of it makes me a hero. I just had a normal day at work that turned ugly.
We have Travis Mills in studio, who's a...
Sergeant Travis Mills, soldier.
He's retired now. He was in the 82nd Airborne. He suffered a horrible accident in Afghanistan. He did a documentary called Travis, A Soldier's Story, which you could buy. What's the website, Travis? Where
you can find all that on travismills.org. There's links to it. It's coming to iTunes soon.
So. Yeah. I mean, your documentary is incredible. We talked about you suffering the injuries that you suffered. You lost all four limbs.
Yeah, and he's only one of five people to have survived losing all of your limbs in war, right?
Absolutely. One of five from this war. There's other people that are out there that are born this way or have horrible accidents or that it's a flu and then sepsis takes over. So I'm not like, it's just the traumatic injury of what happened to me that survived, and then arteries and everything. So for listeners out there, my left side, I have my kneecap. My right side, I'm 2 inches above my kneecap, so I'm considered both above knee.
Uh-huh.
My right side, I have just like 3-4 inches on my arm left, so like mid-bicep. Mm. And my left side is a mid-forearm, so I have a robotic hand and robotic knees. I drive like a normal person.
Wow.
Everything.
And I tell you what, I'm not...
How's your driving record?
Really good. I don't get pulled over, because if I do, I'm just like, oh, no.
You never have to give your wife a back massage.
I just still couldn't. I can move the hand.
If somebody cut you off, can you give him the finger?
I was thinking about getting a tattoo on the right hand or right
mouth. Just giving it to them.
There you go.
Let me brag about Travis real quick because Travis, you were an athlete in high school. Not just an athlete, but you were like
standout.
A football standout stud. Yep. You went off to college and you played one season, and then you said, "This isn't for me. I'm going into military." Where you basically took over. You know, with your squad, everybody looked towards you. You were the life of the room, is what all your friends are saying. It's not; it's what they say about you. And now you're left without limbs. You have a little daughter, which you bring up a lot, Chloe.
Yep.
When you wake up and you're told I have no more limbs, do you think about how am I going to pick my daughter up? How am I going to dance with her? How am I going to walk down the aisle with her?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things that go through your head. And you're like, man, I can't do this. And then, you know, you just got to take one day at a time. There was a lot of religious questions I had, like, why'd this happen? I pay my taxes. My wife and I bought our first house at, like, 23 and 21, and a nice house, a nice neighborhood at a young age. And I was like, what did I do so wrong, and why am I getting punished for this? And then you just got to, it was about 2 weeks where I was just, like, angry and upset, and I questioned my faith. And then it was just like, that's not it. That's not the thing you got to go to. Like, you can't just be a believer when everything works. So then it was just about how am I going to get better? And I had such bad pain. They had to do, like, special studies on me, and then they put me into this ketamine coma, which is, like, the second person in the nation to have. It was, like, 600 milligrams an hour for 5 days straight. There's a lot of case studies on me.
Whoa.
And it was supposed to, like, reset my brain and tolerance. And when I woke up, it was bad hallucinations. I mean, like, crazy. Didn't know what was going on. Thought all these different things.
Ooh.
But after, like, 4 days of hallucinations, the fifth day, I was kind of in and out, really getting off the medication in my body. And this guy came walking in with no arms and legs, but he's walking like how I look now. And his name was Corporal Todd Nicely. He's the second one ever. And he said, hey, man, check it out. I drive. I live in Missouri with my wife. And I got through this, and you're going to too. You just got to be patient. And I was like, well, that's not my virtue. I'm not, patience is not something I'm good at. So what we're going to do is I'm going to tell the doctor I'm going to work out with you. So I fought with the doctor. I was like, I'm going to work out today. He's like, you can't. I looked at him. I was like, I'll just sit here and hurt myself with leg crunches until you let me go. I said, I even told him I'd jump on my bed and low crawl there, which is silly. There's a wheelchair sitting right next to me. And finally, I called him every half hour, 4 hours straight, and he finally was like, fine, you can go. And once I realized it could be done, it's just about getting better and being there for my daughter and my wife. But, I mean, when I first got to the hospital, the backup before the coma, I told Kelsey, take the money that's in the account, not that as much, take Chloe, and don't put up with this. Like, you didn't sign up to have a husband like me. And, I think she probably would have gave me a good swat if I wasn't so broken, bloodied, and bruised and
you basically told
up.
Your wife it's okay to walk away if you want.
And I wasn't going to hold any grudge. I understood it. Like, I didn't feel like my worth was that much anymore.
Well, Travis, your wife, Kelsey, was not going anywhere. And here she is talking to Fox News the week after it happened.
Where is he right now? And what do you know about his current condition?
Right now, he's in Lahm School Regional Medical Center in Germany. And, he actually called me after his surgery today, and I told him I was calling you guys, and he told me to make sure to say he loves his soldiers, and he's asking about how they are, and he can't wait to get home to me and Chloe and his parents.
We're talking to decorated veteran Travis Mills, who went from surviving a quadruple amputation from an explosion in the Iraq War to becoming the star of his own documentary. And he's also now a motivational speaker.
What have you got to speak about, dude?
That's the thing. I just walk in there. I'm like, snap your fingers, wiggle your toes. And they're like, they snap and wiggle. I'm like, your life's not so bad. Then I just drop the mic and walk away. I'm like, oh, wow, it must be hard. Snap and wiggle.
And the thing that's also really incredible about your story, your wife even addressed it, that so many marriages do not survive something like this. And that's really a testament to her.
Yeah. I mean, we got, we were dating from just her brother went home and had some pictures. She sent me my MySpace friend request. I accepted. Started chit-chatting. I was like, this girl looks pretty good. Had a cowgirl hat on, skirt in her picture. I was like, hey, how are you? And then just started chit-chatting and decided, you want to meet? I'm coming home for 18 days. Let's go to Mexico. Let's go on a trip to Cozumel. Never met her. She was 18 and I was 20.
By the way,
let her?
Yeah.
Well, she was 18. So I'm an adult.
And your brother-in-law was, you worked with him. Like, you guys were
deployed
together.
He wanted to cut me. There was one point where I was talking to her on Skype when I was getting ready to go home, for good, and I was already dating her and met her. And I said, love you, pumpkin, bye, and then hung up. And he's like, pumpkin, something my dad calls her. And I looked at him and said, hey, Josh.
Oh, boy.
Calls me daddy, too. And I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to come out wrong. He grabbed his K-bar, which is like a 7 or 8 inch blade, and chased me around. He was going to cut me.
Yeah.
He can't run that fast, but I can't now, but I could then. And he didn't catch me, but if he would have, he would have cut me, I think.
So when people watch your documentary, first of all, is anyone allowed to complain in front
of you? Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's okay.
I tell people when I go and speak, I don't really just say snap fingers with your toes. I tell them, I say, look, your problems are your problems. I don't judge my problems based on what your problems are and think mine are higher. And on top of that, I don't hold my service any higher than anybody else. So anybody that served, thank you for your service. You know, I don't like, well, look what I did for my country. I'm better than you. I don't hold myself on a pedestal. I just had a rough day at work. Case of the old Mondays.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing you can do but get better.
Yeah.
And that's the only message I can tell people. Like, life sometimes gets hard and throws curveballs. Just look at the opportunities that you have. I'm still here. Like, I told the doctors in Coronado, I said, I'm still here to enjoy my daughter's birthdays. To take my wife on dates for our anniversary, mm-hmm. you know, to see my parents. And there's so many guys and gals that have lost their life in the line of service. And their families would give anything to have them in my situation. Mm. I mean, I'm all here up top. There's guys that are still around that can't talk or function and things like that. Even guys that are paralyzed the neck down, they can't move their hands anymore because a bullet hit them in the spine or something. Everybody has their own burdens to bear and injuries. I don't hold myself anywhere except for I know what I'm dealing with and how to get through it.
And you're helping people. And you say you don't consider yourself a hero in your movie, but that's what makes you a hero is what you're doing now.
It was just a normal day at work that went ugly.
I know.
You know.
We're talking to retired U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Travis Mills, whose movie is available at travismills.org. Tell us about your nonprofit, dude, the Travis Mills Foundation.
I'm going to backtrack. So in the hospital, went on all these great trips, but these guys were going to these trips, learn how to kayak, how to ski, how to do all this stuff, but they couldn't take their families.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, it's so much fun when I can incorporate my family. And luckily for me, I was able to take Kelsey because I had a little extra help getting all my stuff on. So I got to take my wife with me on these trips. And I thought, well, Maine has all the same terrain as, you know, Colorado and these other trips. Let's just have a veterans family camp for all veterans to come up to. And we'll have different weeks, you know, PTSD, TBIs, you know, guys with amputations. And just go right down the line and then have, like, different activities for them to relearn how to do with their families and bring their families out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I try to bring families up that have kids that are able to get back out there. Like, when I learned how to go snowboarding, it was me thinking, you know what's great? My daughter's going to learn how to snowboard or ski. My wife skis already, and I'm going to be able to go to the mountain and just no one's going to have to help me. I'm going to learn how to do it now and get it done with. So I've had guys come up the last 2 years to Maine. We've had, you know, we were had our own camp that we hosted at different locations.
Yeah.
And these guys come up with their families and they learn how to kayak, how to snowboard, or not snowboard, I guess, how to kayak, go water, you know, tubing.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of crazy, like water tubing, you know, like me and
fun.
Things like that. Go swimming. I got to take my first time swimming with my daughter. Like, she had a life vest on. She was like a year and a half and, like, take her out in the water with me swimming, you know. And it's just truly an amazing thing. So the foundation is started to help veterans and their families learn they can get back out there and achieve great things and be part of everyday society. And my best feeling came from other guys, same situation, with families, you know, with kids. Not that you can't come up if you don't have a family.
Uh-huh.
More than welcome to come up. You know, we've had great success the last 2 years, and I'd love for everybody to follow me, like, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, you know, all that.
What's your handle, Travis?
At SSG Travis Mills. I still hang on to it. I know. I'm retired, but I still hang on to it.
That's your thing.
But, you know, the Facebook page will have it, and on Thursday I sign the paperwork, and it'll be a huge announcement. And we're looking for, you know, we need funds, obviously. That's why every nonprofit needs funds. I don't pay myself. I make it very transparent. My wife and me do not pay ourselves. We just want to do this out of the goodness of our heart. And we're looking to grow to have up to 11 families, 16 weeks out of the summer, and then a couple ice fishing, snowboarding, and skiing throughout the wintertime.
Two questions.
Go ahead.
Oh, Lord, no.
No, this is serious. This is serious.
That's not going to be serious, by the way.
The other four survivors in your condition, do y'all keep in touch? And are there any black people in Maine? You can ask any
there are black
order.
People in Maine, yes, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so there are black people in Maine now.
Okay.
And the other guys that are wounded like me, I keep in touch with the first guy, when I see him at events and stuff, you know, I can hang out with him and talk. We don't talk too much. He was like 2009, 2010. He got double arm transplant done. The second guy was Todd Nicely. I haven't talked to him in a while. When I go to certain events, I'll see him. I'll call him up. I used to call him up for advice on things, but I got things pretty much figured out. The third guy, we don't talk at all. A lot of different mindset.
Gotcha.
You know, I annoyed him with my cheeriness, I guess.
Yeah. Gosh, you're so positive.
Hang up, Travis.
And then the fourth guy, yeah, I keep in touch with him quite a bit. He was hit a month after me. His wife and my wife are pretty good friends, and we hang out.
The website's travismills.org. Travis, thank you so much for chatting with us, man. You have the coolest story.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me in. I was happy to come in and be able to do this and meet everybody. And please check it out and get behind the Travis Mills Foundation.
We
and we definitely appreciate it. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you for your service. Give it up for Travis Mills.
Again, you can't hear me clapping. I know.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
How cool.
Was that not cool?
Is Staff Sergeant Travis Mills.
That is a cool guy. I mean,
did I say it right? Staff Sergeant?
Staff Sergeant. Yeah. Retired Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. Much respect, man.
I heard he got even cooler.
He did. He did. Over the weekend.
Al and I hung out with him over the weekend.
We hung out. And who knew? The man loves karaoke.
I'm saying, because Al and I were thinking.
Karaoke.
Yeah, we're like, if we're going to talk to this guy on our radio show, we need to get to know him.
So he came and sang, what was it, Barbie Girl?
I'm a Barbie Girl.
Uh-huh. He sang that. Then he wanted to sing All About That Bass. Yeah. I sang that one with him. Al sang Barbie Girl with him.
Yeah. And just hung out and talked to people and took pictures and got a standing ovation every time he sang. It was really, really cool. I mean, I couldn't say it enough. I wish I could say more adjectives for that. It was just really cool.
We brought the house down with Lean On Me.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Yes.
We did a threesome song. That'd be a trio.
Wow.
Freudian slip.
So we had good times at Al's bar.
Yeah.
But Al, I'm understanding that you're maybe getting in trouble because of your bar with your girlfriend, Dr. Girlfriend.
Here's the thing. We just had an announcement this past weekend that there's a huge event happening on May 2nd. Of course, I'm talking about the Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight.
Mayweather-Pacquiao, it is finally happening. This is not a drill, folks. It is for real. Woo! We've been waiting a long time, 5-6 years, to see these two get in the ring.
It's a fight that people have demanded, and the public interest in this is so intense that the money that goes along with it is going to be just over the top. It's unimaginable amounts of money for one night of competition.
They're saying this fight is going to make more money than any other sporting event. Manny.
Like ever.
Floyd Mayweather could possibly take more money than an entire baseball team in one night. So a baseball team needs all this money for one season. He could take it in one night.
One night.
They're saying this could be as big as Joe Louis and Max Schmeling or Ali and Frazier or Tyson Holyfield. This is up there with them.
It's epic. It's epic. And I've been wanting to see this. Everybody has. Why won't Manny Pacquiao fight? I mean, you know, why won't they fight? So they're finally doing it, right?
Yeah.
Big night if you own a sports bar. Huge night. I mean, like, up there with the Super Bowl, as far as just this is a huge event.
When you're a sport bar owner, you salivate over these things.
Especially because right now is a hard time.
Yeah.
There's nothing going on in the sports world.
Basketball is on, it's winding down, you know, and there's baseball coming up, but May is great to have something like this. It makes the summer a lot shorter.
So where's the problem, Al?
But this is the thing. Al's Bar is one of the only bars in the city that usually buys these
fights.
Yeah,
we always buy this.
A lot of bars don't because it's very expensive to do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, JC and I go to Al's Bar.
Yeah.
Always we go to the mat to watch fights.
We don't get endorsed, but we still go.
Yeah. You don't get a talent fee?
We don't get a talent fee.
No.
Show up?
I'll buy you a couple of free drinks. Anyway.
Ask me how much I get paid to host my own birthday party.
How much do you get paid for?
Nothing. That waitress held my cake hostage until my bar tab was paid.
Okay.
So all right.
What's the problem then? This is a good thing for the bar.
May 2nd is a great night for the bar. May 3rd is my girlfriend's birthday.
Dr. Girlfriend.
Oh. And it's a big birthday.
Not only is it her birthday, it's her 30th birthday.
And she's been talking about her 30th birthday since my 30th birthday, because mine's May 9th of last year. So when we were in Mexico last summer, she was already talking about everything her boyfriend was going to do for her 30th birthday.
It just so happens it's on a weekend. It's been perfect. We could go to Vegas. We could go to Mexico.
She's never been to Vegas. The perfect time. The fight and her birthday.
What's the problem, Al?
First of all, you can't go to Vegas on fight weekend if you're not going to fight. There's no sense.
Actually,
I want to.
I disagree because even if you're not going to the fight, the parties are going to be out of control. There's going to be celebrities everywhere.
It's so fun.
Okay, now, again, May 2nd, fight night, right? Bar that I own.
Okay. Do you have a manager?
I do.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, crap.
So.
You wouldn't think it was Friday and then you could.
Right.
Yeah, still do something. So she's like, you don't need to be there. Yeah, I kind of do.
Why?
I mean, this is like, it's a big event. It's a huge event. It's like Super Bowl status type event. Like, you just want to be there at your business when you own a business on a big event day or night. It's just I just need
it's good
to be
business.
There.
I mean, just because this is probably one of the biggest boxing matches of all time, I mean,
you got to be there.
Yes, I have to be there. I'm sorry.
Good business.
Sometimes you have to. You just have to be there.
I can't say it any more than that. You just have to be.
Why?
See, and I just the Molly hang up is I appreciate. And I'm not bad-mouthing her. I'm just saying, me as a girl, I don't see the need to celebrate on your actual birthday. Why does it have to be that day?
Well,
you can be the next weekend. You can still do something huge the next weekend.
Yeah. And that's what I suggested. That's what I suggested. Now, here's the thing.
But why does it have to be the actual weekend?
It's her birthday.
It doesn't matter. But what if, it's just a day.
But I agree. My 30th happened to be on a Friday, and you guys were kind enough to let me and my friends leave. I left the show a little early to go to Mexico because my birthday was that weekend. But if my birthday was on a Monday, I'd wait till Friday.
But that's good. Something. That's the thing. When your birthday's on a weekend, it doesn't happen very often, so it's a big deal. Especially if it's her big 30th birthday.
Don't feed into this.
I'm not feeding. I'm just letting you know how she's probably feeling.
She could celebrate the next weekend. Big freaking deal.
She could, but it's not the same.
Here's the thing.
It is the same. Who cares? Everybody in Vegas don't know it's her birthday. Unless you walk in there, I bet you she'll still get the free dessert. It's my birthday. They're not going to ask her to prove it.
Okay, so here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I'm on Team Kelly here, or Team Kelly's on Team Al, or whatever. I'm like, let's go the weekend before, the weekend after.
Dr. Girlfriend!
Hey, but it's my birthday. Yep. I get that. Okay, wait.
Than that?
Other than that, in her field, she's a doctor, as you all know. Mm-hmm. She has to set her days off.
That's another problem.
In advance, so she's already taken off for her weekend for her birthday.
Of course.
Can she switch it? Sure. The bottom line is this. She doesn't want to be second to my bar, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I get that. I understand that, especially on her birthday and, you know, all of these other things.
Okay.
But I so the fight, the Manny Pacquiao fight, is starting a fight.
let me ask you this. Pretend I'm Dr. Girlfriend, and you say you have to. I know. I don't look like her.
Tough.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, why wouldn't you choose
but
Kelly or
when she says.
Ethnically speaking.
Because all I'm asking is one question.
Yes, darling.
When she says.
Uh-huh. I love you.
Why do you need to be there?
What do I say when she says it? Because it's my bar. I need to be there.
Is it a want or a need?
I need to be there.
It is Big Al Max Bar. On a regular night when people go in there and he's not there, everyone is incredibly disappointed. This is a special night. He needs to be there.
Right.
Woman will support you in that. It's just a freaking day. You can celebrate the next weekend.
Ow.
Oh, I'm going to pay the price for this, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well.
Why don't you Skype? set up a Skype. And
you know that's not going to work. I mean, it's just one of those nights where you have to be there. And hopefully she will understand and she'll.
Yeah.
I do understand.
She's proven time and time again what a great sport she is.
I do understand the disappointment.
Kelly, stop it.
Whoa.
I do understand the disappointment being that I just had a 30th birthday. I get it. You want people to be there. But if this is not even, it's not even a consideration, right? Like, you've made up your mind.
Yeah, I got to be there.
Well, then. Then there should be no more fighting. Then there should be no more fighting.
Yeah,
you've made up your mind, and what you need to do is you should plan
something really big
right now. You should plan a birthday trip for her.
Out?
Not something really big, but just something that you would do anyways. You should plan a trip with her out of town and do the planning.
Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, Al, 10 years from now, when you guys are together, and maybe you have one little bambino hanging out, she will bring this up. When you get drunk.
No.
She will bring this up
for the rest of your life. Because if you forgive something and stay with someone, you shouldn't punish them for the rest of his life about it.
True. True that.
But you should plan something else on another weekend and not just say, well, this is what guys do. We can go out of town another weekend. Well, plan it. Do it.
Yeah,
set it in stone, because that's really impressive to us when it's like, oh, guess what? I'm going to be out of town for your birthday, but I booked us a trip, and this is where we're going. Get the time off work.
Right.
And then that's like, oh, okay. We have something to look forward
to. Al, you were thinking of maybe doing it the weekend after.
Yes.
Your attention, please.
What's that? Something
sorry, Al,
up?
To inform you that is the weekend of the wedding at the Mat.
No. 16th. No.
I'm sorry, Al. Actually, the next weekend is my birthday, and I'm inviting you to my dog and my denim birthday brunch on Saturday.
Is there anything the following weekend?
It's my birthday on Saturday, and I'm inviting Al to my birthday party.
Y'all are not helping.
You can't miss Jenna's birthday. You work with me.
Oh, I'm trying so hard to help.
Al, I'm telling you, sometimes you have to sacrifice.
The weekend after that is the wedding. May 16th is the wedding.
Yeah.
So take her out of town. May 9th is Saturday. That's my birthday. Take her out of town then, and
it's Mother's
Day
weekend.
Oh, it's Mother's Day weekend.
You don't miss doorbell?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Sunday, Mother's Day.
There's always something, you know? At some point, you got to compromise. There's always going to be something. We have lives.
Just break up.
No, girlfriend.
Just break up.
Oh.
Because you're booked.
The weekend like, before.
You're booked on her birthday month.
The weekend before is the last weekend of April.
Yeah. And we got to go.
It's not like it's just like her 27th or 26th. Oh. This is the big 3-0.
And Memorial Day, we're going to Mexico.
Yeah.
But I can't combine.
See, you can't. That's your bar anniversary.
I can't combine the Mexico trip. We're already going to Mexico in the Memorial Day weekend. So I can't, like, say, well, we'll just celebrate your birthday when we go to.
Oh, that's the anniversary of the bar, right?
Right.
If you've been a really, really, really good boy lately with her the last year and not gotten in trouble one bit.
I've been pretty decent.
You could get a free pass.
Yeah. Oh.
You've been pretty decent.
Oh, man.
Does she want to go out of town?
Probably, yeah. I think she was.
She wants it to be about her.
If she really, plan a really. If she wants to do something on her birthday, a very nice dinner with a bunch of her closest family and friends. That's what you do on her actual birthday, and then surprise her with where you're going to take her to celebrate.
Okay.
But on her, if she is that dead set on doing something on her actual birthday, then do a that's the day after, right?
Yeah.
Do a lovely, elegant dinner, a big celebration where everybody comes and toasts, and it's like one of those Real Housewives of Beverly Hills parties.
Right. Okay.
It'll be lovely.
Okay.
Do that on her actual birthday.
Why
do you have to go out of town?
I want to hear from ladies. If Al is your boyfriend and he decides to go to his bar for a fight instead of going out with you on your birthday, would you dump him?
Her actual birthday is the next day.
Okay.
Exactly. Actual birthday.
But if we were going to do something for the weekend.
Well, they were going to, but this is a work thing.
If you're Dr. Girlfriend, what do you do 800 Kid Live?
800-543-3548.
If you're a supportive girlfriend, what would you do 800-5 Geek It?
And let's remember, you screwed up the anniversaries, the last two.
Yeah.
This is your makeup.
So why does she expect anything else?
Because.
Good point, Kelly Raspberry.
Because we're always hoping that someday you won't disappoint us.
Right. And that's
well, then
the whole
find
thing.
Someone always, who doesn't.
It's all. It's
maybe y'all just aren't meant to work out.
You get your boy. You get your little tender boyfriend, and then all of a sudden, you just want to ruin everybody else's relationship.
Kelly's mad because you were sabotaging her relationship
I
yesterday.
I wasn't sabotaging anything.
You
I was
were
just asking questions. I was just asking questions. But that you see what's happening.
I know what's happening.
Now she got her little tender bear,
Kelly's
little tender Roni
with her arms crossed.
My arms are not crossed.
Well,
I
early.
Am sitting down because I'm tired.
Hold on, before we ask ladies if they would dump you, Al.
All right,
David, you're a bar owner. What do you think Al should be doing?
Al, take the night off. Take your lady to Vegas or wherever she wants to go for her 30th birthday. Just another night at a bar.
David's a
it's
bar owner.
It's not just another night at the bar. Are you buying the fight for your bar?
Yeah, actually, I took New Year's Eve off to propose to my wife. And that is one of the biggest nights of the year.
What a boss.
Because she didn't expect me to do it.
And you guys are happy,
why
aren't
you? Why you got to have attitude? I think
that's
better than Big Al.
That's a surprise. That was a
better than Big Al.
David, thanks for the perspective. How did do you have a successful bar?
There's no attitude.
Would you like to take my girlfriend to Las Vegas?
He's trying to help out a fellow man. David, I think that you're showing that you got to sacrifice sometimes when you own a bar.
You got to make the right choice in this one. There'll be plenty of nights at the bar. 21 years has taught me that.
There you go.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks for your call.
This is from
thanks for your call.
He's had it for 21
I appreciate
years.
It.
Hey, other fights will happen.
This is Pacquiao Mayweather, man.
Well, if Pacquiao beats Mayweather, there'll be a second.
And then we're going to take that night and have a fight. I'll be there that night, too.
Thank you, David. Good luck with your bar, sir.
Thank you much.
Bye, buddy.
It'd be one thing if the tickets were already booked. It was non-refundable, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Well,
she took the time off
waiting.
At the hospital.
Yeah,
because, I mean.
I'm just not a girl like that, I guess.
Right. I know that.
Well, this is the thing. You and I'm okay with a substitute weekend. We're different. I think that's the point. It's not about how you or I would feel.
Right.
It's really her, and it's a huge deal to her.
Right.
And even if it's not a big deal to you, sometimes you gotta suck it up and man up and be like, well, this is really important to her and the rest of our relationship.
But yes. Man, you know, Al
it's
would
not
be,
like you
okay,
have Manny
so
to
let's
the
just
bar.
Say she wins. Let's say she wins this
There's
fight.
There's no winning.
That's exactly it, because then Al's going to go, and the whole time, he's going to be concerned about what's going on at his
you
bar.
You can't, Al. You got to let it go.
You can't.
I know.
There is
can't
like, do. This is like the big elephant in the room.
I
the
know,
whole,
yeah.
No matter what they decide to do, it's ruined.
Al Mack, some ladies have your back. Claudia, you have Al's back?
For once, I have Big Al's back.
Me too. What is wrong with us, Claudia? What is wrong with us? The world is.
I never have his back. I know. Today I do.
Why do you have his back, Claudia?
Well, I mean, the bar is his obligation, just like her patients are her obligation. I mean, she never. I haven't heard of any huge birthday bonanza that she's thrown for him. If he throws it, like Kelly said, if he throws her a huge little dinner, elegant style, on her birthday, and then take her to a trip later on to soothe her, I see no problem in that.
You would understand. If it was your 30th birthday, you would understand, Claudia.
See, Claudia and I are
Absolutely.
Practical.
There you go. Okay.
Claudia and I are practical people, aren't we, Claudia?
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah,
Claudia.
We can go to the bar and have a few drinks with Big Al.
Claudia, you show up and I'm buying you a couple of drinks, all
and
right?
You could potentially be the next girlfriend.
You never know.
Have a great day, Claudia. Thank you for your call. There you go, Al. Lady's getting your back.
Cool. I like it. Thank you, Claudia.
She is not the only one. Bree, what do you think Big Al Max should do?
Well, I think that on her birthday or even the night of the fight, plan something for her to go out with her girlfriends, go have a fancy dinner somewhere or something that she would think is fun with her friends so she can have her 30th birthday celebration. And then you plan something just for the two of you.
Ooh.
Either the trip somewhere or a nice private dinner
That's
somewhere.
That's a good idea.
But do something so she can have her party.
Girls
but
love
then
girls.
Still get her fun with you.
Well, you know how this is. Regardless of what, it's birthday week or birthday month.
Right, when a girl turns 30. Right.
You want to celebrate.
Al's booked for the month.
Multiple. She wants to have multiple dinners.
And it's her 30th. Obviously, she's excited about her 30th. Some people are depressed about it. So she's excited.
Yeah,
let her party.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, she's very excited.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, she was until you ruined it.
Yeah, people build up 30th birthdays so much. You guys even did for me, and I didn't think it was a big deal.
I threw myself.
And everyone, and even Kelly told me, Jenna, do something for your birthday. And I said, I'm going to go out of town. So
yeah, because you were really depressed.
And, I was having a hard time.
But I wasn't married at the time, but I was with my ex-husband. We were dating, and I was like, I want my 30th birthday done right. So I planned it myself and threw it for myself because I knew what I wanted. I love doing it.
I'll tell you
what, I'm so glad I took Kelly's advice. And instead of having a party here, I went out of town with just a few close friends. And it was like the best weekend I've ever had.
Right.
So I'm so glad I did it. You do need to acknowledge
something.
You do. Yeah. You do. Right.
Bianca, we should. You're saying we should expect this from Big Al.
Yes, but I do agree. I mean, part of being a supportive girlfriend is understanding your job, understanding when you got to make appearances. And, I mean, you know, it's a 30th birthday, but you're going to have several more birthdays, so let them have this one.
All right. Thank you, baby. I appreciate it.
Big Al Max, the ladies.
Al's quieting down because I think the reality of what he's just done is settling in with him. You know how quiet he's got?
What do you mean, Kelly? What do you mean?
He's thinking now, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
Part of him was hoping that all the women would call in and support Dr. Girlfriend and not him because that way.
So. Yeah.
Well, so now it's even worse, right?
Yeah, now
you can feel Al. I can feel his energy go, crap.
Allison has a great point. Allison, what would you like to say?
I agree with Big Al because even if you do go out for the entire weekend, everything is going to be overshadowed by the fight.
Mm-hmm. Everything. That is true.
That's true. Thank you.
You won't get any attention because everyone's going to be focusing on the fight and no one will know it's her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, Kelly's kind of right because...
Thank you, Al.
Al can't shut this thing down fast enough now.
No.
Because, you notice how quiet he's like, thank you.
Here's the thing.
Let me go.
If you have two people, let's just call it a fight. It's not a fight. Let's just call it a fight.
Okay.
If I'm winning the fight...
You called it a fight at the beginning of the break, but that's fine.
That means the other person is not winning the fight.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
You're going to lose either way.
So now...
I don't know what I just did.
The reality of what you've done is finally sunk in.
And isn't it kind of crazy that doesn't Al already have Kelly's birthday booked?
Oh, yeah. You do. Kelly's birthday's all set up.
Yeah, but it's on a Thursday night.
Naughty by nature.
And it's on a Thursday night. I'm not even going.
Flavor Flay.
Reverend Al Sharpton.
Flavor Flay. Spinderella.
Surely somebody.
You need to have somebody. Is there a woman that has Dr. Girlfriend's side?
I'm not sure. Let's ask Jessica. What do you think we should do?
I have a question for Big Al.
Ooh, yes, I like that. Yes, go ahead, Jessica. Yes.
Do you have... I've never been to your bar. Mm-hmm. I'm not big on going to bars. Excuse me, I'm choking. Do you have, like, a VIP room or something?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
There's a platform for karaoke that's considered the VIP room. It really is.
It's not, no, it's a sports bar. It's not that. It's not a club.
It's a bar-y bar.
It's like a bar. It's a bar.
Well, you could, you know, tell her, have all her girls or whatever, they all drink free for the night. Mm.
You can set them up.
Hey, get out, do stuff.
Yeah, you could set them up a little platform, a birthday corner.
Yeah.
he actually doesn't have room.
Until the next day, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to kind of need all my real estate that night.
Yeah, why are you even having the fight, Al?
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Jessica. And finally, after many a cost, we have Dr. Griffin's back right here. Ladarius, what's going on, my man?
Shout out.
Yes, I have heard back because it's Minnie versus Pacquiao. Who really cares about boxing? You need to be there for your girlfriend on her 30th birthday.
It's so funny that men have her back and women have his.
Because we understand.
Isn't that funny?
We understand. Yeah. Ladarius, I'm with you, man.
No, because you know what? The men know they're going to have to pay the price. That's all it is. Yeah.
We
they know. If this
happy
is what,
wife,
isn't that
life.
Right, Ladarius? You're just saying. Yeah.
Is it worth it to you?
That's right.
We know the consequences.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
man.
What it boils down to.
I'm going to love if Mayweather knocks Pacquiao out in the first round.
Oh, that's going to be the greatest. Like a Tyson-type
fight. You spend all that money, then you're there, and it's just like fight night over.
Yeah. Ladarius, are you single, by the way?
No, I'm not.
You're taking. Of course you're taking, because you know what to do.
You know how to keep a woman happy.
All right, my man.
He knows.
Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you for your call, my brother.
There you go, Al.
All right. Oh, boy.
So everybody's got your back.
I have a feeling.
Oh, you messed up.
I have a feeling you're not even going to have to worry
so much trouble right now.
You are. What were you thinking?
I don't know.
Are you going to call her and apologize right now?
It'll be a funny story on the radio. Hey.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.